So we are here, Shloka 33. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So now you see, Krishna is telling that we are pushed by gunas. Now you see, previously we had this Varnashram system, so usually it was done like this. If you are born in Brahmin family, you will be engaged in Brahminical activities and you will develop Brahminical qualities. You are born in Kshatriya family, most probably you will remain Kshatriya, develop that. No? Now who we are, what we are? Are you Brahmana? Are you Shudra? Are you Kshatriya? Are you Vaishya? What we are? Who will tell? How to engage according to our propensities? You know who tells? Guru tells us. And we have no problem. Guru tells us, serve like this, do like this. We are not particularists, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but we are all engaged in our capacity. On beginning, we engage everybody same, but slowly, slowly our persons gets purified, his nature more visible, then slowly everybody leans towards type of work he has qualities for. No? If you have too silent person, too shy person, if you push him too much for preaching, you'll give him in front of 100,000 people, he will come in. Hare Krishna. Prabhu, what are you? This is not nature, but he will do nice puja. He'll take care of deities, he'll silently do the work. You know? So even in Krishna consciousness, we are engaged in any kind of activities. We do the needful. That is the bhakti. We do whatever Guru says, whatever Krishna says. That is the pure bhakti. You know? But still, you will see, somehow or other we are leaning, whatever qualities we have, we push to engage in Krishna service. And this is how it happens, usually. You know, usually we are always engaged according to the gunas. And that helps us. That's how gunas can purify us. Whatever we know, whatever ability we have, we engage in Krishna service. Priority is, whatever is needed, we do. There was a temple president. That was really impressive when I heard from that temple president. He said, I had one brahmana in the temple. One devotee, really clean and neat and peaceful and a little slow in motion. You know, not super practical, but he gave nice lecture. He'll come and he will, you know. So one day temple president called, look, we had the Ratha Yatra, this big pile of that garbage behind in the garden. And he's, you know, clean and shining, you know. Yes, Prabhu. So, can you help me clean this? Nobody's there. You have to alone throw all these things in that container and send it out from property, you know. It's really a mess, big pile, you know, after Ratha Yatra. So, he looked for, yes, Prabhu. And then the temple president smiled. Oh, okay. I just wanted to see, are you Vaishnava or are you a Brahmana? No, if he was Brahmana in the group, I'll not touch this old much, you know. But he was devotee. He said, yes, Prabhu, I'll clean everything. So he said, I just want to see, are you Brahmana or Vaishnava? Because Vaishnava will do whatever is needed. Brahmana will do only his type of work. So, I'll not touch, don't touch, you know. So you see, you understand this example is, give some idea, no? 33. Okay, look, we have just few more shlokas. What do you say? You want to have break or you want to continue? Just few shlokas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No? Tapasya. But shloka 43, moksha. Definitely shloka 43 describes moksha in this case. No? Okay. Now here, what we are discussing, the shloka 33 we did, no? 34 now. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on part of self-realization. So you see, all rules, regulations are meant to help us restrain the senses, to come to the purification, to actually choose properly how to act and how not to act. No? So Prabhupada discussed, no? That sex enjoyment is necessary for conditioned soul. And sex enjoyment is a law under the license of marriage ties. So sex is okay, but get married. That's all. You see, the rule and regulation is there. There's a rule. There is a system. Meat, eating, you are pushing to eat meat. It's not good, it's not good, it's not good, but you're pushing. Okay, there is regulation. You want to drink wine, there is regulation. You want to enjoy position, okay, but there is regulation. Everything, for everything. No? So here, the Prabhupada discusses, all like this. According to scriptural injunction, one is forbidden to engage in sex relation with any woman other than one's wife. All other women are to be considered as one's mother. But in spite of such injunction, man is still inclined to have sex relation with other women. These propensities are to be cured. Otherwise, there will be stumbling blocks on part of self-realization. So this is the point. There must be some rule or regulation. Otherwise, unrestricted sense enjoyment, we fell down. We do sinful activities. Therefore, rules, regulations are there. As long as material body is there, necessities of material body are allowed, but under the rules, regulation. So Prabhupada says, out of four ashramas, brahmacharyas, grihastash, vanaprastash, sannyasash, in three ashramas, sex is prohibited. And Prabhupada says, grihast ashram is license for sex life, but under rules, regulations. So the sex life is binding blocks. This is one of the most binding material enjoyment, so should be restricted. One who is free from sex life, he is spiritually advanced. He is self-realized soul. So without that overcoming the desire for sex, nobody can be considered a spiritually advanced person. So you see, brahmachari, no sex life. Vanapras, no sex life. Sannyas, no sex life. Grihast, restricted sex life. Not only your wife, but only for progenials. Very much restricted. Why? Because this is the most binding force. This is the biggest poison in material world. The biggest problem. So a lot of restriction for that. What no sex life? No speaking to women, no thinking of women, no meditating upon women, no unnecessary anything to do with women. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say, even wooden doll of a woman should not be looked at. Even that can bewilder somebody. We should not hear women singing. We should not see women combing their hair. We should not see women dressing, or what to speak of undressing. No? Dancing also. No? So these are all so many rules. Why? Because there's a problem there. There's a problem. Is there so rules, 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 restriction, restriction, restriction. Why? To cure us. Like you have disease. A big problem with stomach. No ghee, no deep fry, no chili. Oh, what a doctor is. Heavy guy. No, he's the best one. He will cure you quickly. But why so many rules, regulations? Because you are sick. Because we are sick. Because we think we are enjoyers of material world. Therefore, rules, regulation. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no this, no that, no this, no that. Then, oh, spiritual life, very bitter. Medicine is bitter, but after that becomes sweet. So spiritual life is like this. Enjoyment in sattva gun, you will see later in 17th chapter described, or in 18th, that on the beginning looks bitter, but gradually become sweet. And passion, rajagun, enjoyment. On beginning looks nice nectar, but immediately poison, because there is frustration. Short lasts, and then frustration. Yeah? This is it. But spiritual life, beginning, little bitter, you know? Beginning, I remember, waking up in the morning, you know, we used to come home morning around 5 o'clock, you know. We'll be all night out playing music, this is it. And when father will go for job, I'll go home. Sometimes he will be opening from one side with key, I'll open another side with key. And he said, good morning. Good morning. Now you came. I said, I came, you are going. You know? Then he came to temple, then you have to wake up 4:30, you know. That was completely opposite my biorhythm of the body. You know. You see, Europe is like this, degraded society. Chandalas, mlechas, yavanas, rakshasas, pishachas, bhutas, preta, all kinds of creatures are there. So nightlife, rakshasa means nightlife. No? Pishacha, Rakshasa, means nightlife. You know, used to sleep till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, eat something, do some work, and then evening time, 8 o'clock, we go out. And 8 o'clock we go, 5 o'clock we come back home. Like that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday means nightlife. No, Rakshasas paka, no? Eating, sleeping, nighttime. No, eating and working nighttime. No? Savustapasya in the morning, you know, temple, 3:30 they wake you up. My God. Mangalati means, took half an hour to focus on the deities. It was difficult. It's waking up in the morning, my God. It was jumping, dancing, feasting, no problem. But waking up in the morning was all drama in the morning, every morning. But devotees, they know how to do it. We have very good temple commander, you know, who was good cook also. Every morning he bring big pot and that wooden spoon. Haribol, Mangalarti, down, 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 down. That's it, you're not going to sleep after that, you know. It's just so loud, you know. Merciful Vaishnavas. First, everyone was a little not so pleased with him, but we all realize, you know, he pushes, and after some time, you know, after 3 weeks like this, you're sleeping, and 3:15, and you know, he will come now, already you're awake. So everybody wakes up before, and he comes inside with the pot, you know, and everybody says, Prabhu, it's okay, everyone's here. It's okay. He fixes us up like anything, it's really good. I mean, it looks a little rude, but, you know, somehow or other, follow the rules and regulations, no? Okay. Then, here, 35. Now Krishna says, it is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in other's duty, for to follow another's path is dangerous. So, Krishna is telling to Arjuna that don't give up your kshatriya duty to become brahmana, this and that. Then everybody will just whimsically be changing everything and you will misguide everyone. But there are faults, the difficulties in my duty. Even if fault is there, whenever there is fire, there is some smoke. In any work, there is some fault. Every work has some impurity, some problem. No? Kshatriya has a problem, they have to kill. Vaishya has a problem, they have to lie. No. Sir, only for you. I have no profit. Because you are the best customer. I'm giving my cost price only. No profit, believe me. He lies like anything. Never believe him. He cannot sell. He must have some profit. You know. Yeah. So we should... Fault is there. Everywhere fault is there. But fault will be purified by sticking to our principles and performance. The small thing will be excused. Even moon has few spots. But still, when Purnima, it shines very nicely, it's pleasing to see, it's cooling. You know? It's insignificant. So, because there are some difficulties everywhere. Grihasthas, they have their difficulties. Brahmachas, they have their difficulties. Sannyasi, they have their difficulties. Vanapras, they have their difficulties. You know? But we should discharge our duty properly. No, cook has a difficulties. Go and cook in our kitchen. You see how the smoke is coming, how these tears are coming, bhav, prem, or immediately these high symptoms of love of God realize quickly. It's difficult, but he sticks to his duty, no? No? Pujari is in bliss. Festival is coming. Everyone is there. They're doing abhishekam. And then all the devotees go for yatra. He's alone there. Ring, 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 ring. Anybody there? No? Some difficulties are there. Sometimes, you know, difficult, no? We all like our Gurukul and kids to see, but sometimes, you know, there are some simply stubborn, they don't want to hear, they don't want to learn anything. And teachers. And our school is so bad, they can't even beat children. You know? It's a difficult. Every work has some smoke. You know? But we stick to that. Prabhupada say, duties on spiritual platform and duties material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for performer. We stick to that and it's good. We have nothing to lose. So, you know, when we are under the Maya, we should follow our rules, regulation, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, according to our modes, no? When one transcends modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of bona fide spiritual master. So here the difference is there, no? Spiritual path, we can perform anything and everything, but we stick to rule. We follow what Guru says, what Krishna says. This is the rule. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, Kshatriya may act as a Brahmana, Brahmana may act as a Kshatriya. In transcendental stage, distinction material world do not apply. So once you are transcendentally situated, we as a devotee, we do work of any service. We can cook, we can clean, we can do anything. Because we are devotees, we don't mind. We are doing for Krishna. So we don't have to stick to that type of occupation. But we have stick to one principle, order of Guru and Krishna. This is our rule. We don't break this one. We don't act whimsically. We also follow authority. Materialistic people, they follow Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra duties. Spiritual people, we follow Guru's Krishna's order. Both they follow authority. But activity may be any activity. Any activity. No. So this is explained here. Now Arjuna asks. This is an essential question now. Arjuna is asking, O descendants of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Now Arjuna says, we know these rules, we know this is good for us, we know this is our duty, but something is pushing us, something is pushing us for sin. Somebody is again pulling us down. What is it? What is that is pulling us down? So Krishna here explains. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Sumudbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenam Ihavairinam. So this is essential shloka to memorize, 37. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with material modes of passion, a latter transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So Krishna says here that it is by desire to enjoy material sense gratification. This is what is pulling us, that the uncontrolled desires. This is what pulls us. Even man of intelligence is pulled into that. So Prabhupada explained this purport, every devotee should study. This is very important. When a living entity, all purports are important, but this is, Prabhupada really wrote very clearly. When a living entity comes in contact with material creation, his eternal love of Krishna is transformed into lust in association with mode of passion. The sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust, as milk in contact with sour tamarinds transforms into yogurt. So here, just like a sunlight, what is the color of sunlight? Is it just shining effulgence, transparent? But if you put it through that prism, through that glass prism, the sun will break into seven colors, rainbow. So pure love of God, when it's in touch with material mind, consciousness, with matter, polluted by Rajagun, it breaks up. And then it's directed toward the opposite sex, it's called lust. When it's directed towards money, it's called greed. When it's directed toward helping the poor, it's called charity, mercifulness. You know, when it's directed toward our own fellows, citizens, it's called nationalism, communism, this isn't, it's one energy of the soul, but it's diverted, breaking up in so many, it's polluted. Once this consciousness is removed, material consciousness, cheto darpana marjanam, when it's purified, again, same energy shines, love of God. So Prabhupada gives this example, please remember, the milk, if you put tamarind, it becomes yogurt. This is amazing formula. Cook, did you hear this one? Then again, lust doesn't stay lust only. If he's not satisfied, becomes anger. No? Yesterday we were discussing spiritual fell down, no? Jayato visayam pumsa, sangashte supajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodha bijayate, krodha bhavati samava, samava smriti vibrama, smriti bramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashati, fell down, kama, krodha, no? And then wrath transform into illusion. Illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust, we here know that every material desire which is not meant to please Krishna is lust. Even subtle recognition, position, fame, desire to be glorified, to hear my own glories, ownership. It's all lust. It's all one desire. I want to enjoy instead of to give pleasure to Krishna. So the lust is greatest enemy of this world. And it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in material world. Wrath is anger. This is ignorance. Lust is passion. So the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into mode of ignorance, is elevated to mode of goodness by prescribed method of living and acting. Then one can be saved from degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. Prabhupada speaks now, why this fall down happened, how we became pure spirit soul covered by lust. By misuse of their independence, jivas, when the service attitude is transformed into propensity for enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. So by misuse of independence, that's discussed. Now definition of material world is given here. I request you to write notes from this purpose because amazing. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to conditioned soul to fulfill their lustful propensities, and when completely baffled, cheated by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about the real position. You see the purpose? You try to enjoy material life. And when you realize it doesn't work because everything is temporary, then you start inquire, what's wrong? What I'm doing? Why is this happening? Then you inquire, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Then you come to God back. This inquiry begins, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Or Bhagavatam immediately gives answer, who is that Brahman? What is that absolute truth? Janmadyasyataha, from whom everything is born from. So if therefore lust is transformed into love for Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Lust and wrath can be engaged in Krishna service. Gopis were lusty after Krishna, that is their perfection. Hanuman got angry and burn on Lanka. That is his perfection. And here Prabhupada gives example of Arjun. Arjun got angry and killed his enemy and he achieved perfection. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies. So this is good. And then, next shloka, Krishna says, the analogy of how much one is covered by that lust, how much one had desire to enjoy, this much thickness of coverings he gets. Here, as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, living entities similarly covered by different grades of this lust. So here, three degrees of covering of living entities. When fire is covered by smoke, through smoke still you can see some fire, so this is not so thick covering. So this is human form. No? And when mirror is covered by dust, hardly you can see anything. It's covered. But it's not so difficult also to, some medium covering is there. So this is for the beasts, animals like that. And when example is giving embryo coming from the womb, that's complete cover. So thick covering. These are the trees and inert like that living entities. This is the given. So according to our desire, to how much we are burning that lust, they get more thicker coverings. So Krishna advises, thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes powered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like a fire. And that we have experience when people are affected by lust, or they have any material desire that really, really kind of stick to it, you know, stuck in their mind. Then they become restless. It burns them all the time. There was one devotee who was supposed to get some big money. They promised to him some big money. And every time we go book distribution, whenever he stops for 2 minutes, maybe I should go and get that money. It's burning him all the time. His mind is disturbed. All the time he's thinking about it, you know. Then we are doing something else, he forgets a little bit. As soon as 1 minute mind is peace, oh, maybe I should get the money because I can do so many things. Maybe for preaching, maybe I can get married, maybe this, all the time, you know. Burning, and he left. It was burning him, you know. When man is lusty, can't sleep, all the time thinking, oh, that lady is there, and she's waiting, and I should come, and this, and that. Burning. And you can see he's a restless person. He can't focus on service. He can't fix his mind. So disturbed. One devotee was really disturbed. He wanted to get married for one particular girl, and it was a little difficult due to different circumstances. So we sent him away. Go away. Miles and miles, kilometers away. You know? And after 6 months, after 1 year, he came back. How are you? I'm okay now. I'm now peaceful. Okay. After 2 days, he said, Prabhuji, he's burning. My heart is burning. Still, wound did not heal. And he got married. He was burning. You know? It's a difficult one. And what is the secret? Krishna says here, look, which will never satisfy. It will never satisfy. Whatever you do, you will not satisfy materially. Whatever you want to do, you will never be satisfied. You become prime minister, chief minister, then you become prime minister. You want to become prime minister, you want to rule all world. Never satisfy. Or you want to keep it forever. No? Never satisfy. Whatever you give, never satisfy. This is, Krishna said, it will never satisfy. Just give up this idea. Give up. We should give up this idea. It will never satisfy. But we are fools. Again and again we are trying. Again and again we are cheated. No? Then Krishna says, okay, now you know what's the enemy. All devouring enemy. Is he there on the boat? All devouring enemies, that karma, lust. Okay, now Krishna says, the senses, mind, and intelligence are sitting placing of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. So, Prabhupada says, the enemy has captured different strategic position in the body of the conditioned soul. Huh? Like in battlefield, no? So we should know where is the enemy, no? And therefore, Lord Krishna gives hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. Mind is the center of all activities of the senses. And thus, when we hear about sense object, the mind generally becomes a reservoir of all ideas of sense gratification. And as a result, mind and senses become repositories of lust. Next, intelligence department becomes capital of such lustful propensities. Intelligence immediately next door neighbor of the super or the spirit soul. Lusty intelligence influences spirit soul to acquire the false ego and identify itself with matter, and thus with the mind and senses. Everything is bewildered. You see, everything is corrupted. The spirit soul become addicted to enjoying material senses and mistaken this as a true happiness. This false identification of spirit soul is very nicely explained in Bhagavatam. Yasya atma buddhir kuna petri dhatuke, very famous shloka, Prabhupada quoted thousands of times. Human being who identifies this body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproduct of the body to be his kinsman, who considers the land of birth worshipful, and who goes to the place of pilgrimage simply to take bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. No? Sa eva gokara. Simply asses and cows. Because we think we are this body, and the goal of life is to satisfy senses. And all our mind, intelligence, instead of thinking of Krishna, how to serve Krishna, thinking how to engage in lust, how to satisfy senses, how to get money, how to get position, how to get this, how to get that. No? So here Krishna advice. Therefore, Arjun, best of Bharatas, in very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses, and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So from very beginning. So here, Prabhupada said, Jnana refers to knowledge of self as distinguished from non-self. Knowledge that spirit soul and we are spirit soul, we are not this body. Now Vijnana, Krishna given Jnana, Sankhya to us. Now Vijnana refers to specific knowledge of spirit soul's constitutional position and his relation to Supreme Lord. The knowledge of self and Supreme Self is very confidential and mysterious, but such knowledge and specific realization can be understood, if explained, with the various aspects by Lord Himself. Now, what's the point here? Why we discuss this jnana, vijnana? What's the point? Here it is. Lust is only last paragraph I'm reading, 41. Lust is only the perverted reflection of love of God, which is nature for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of Godhead cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to normal condition. So now what Krishna advised? From childhood we train children. From very beginning we train them. Life is not meant for sense gratification, for Krishna. Not for you, not for you. Remember, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought mangoes and small Bimala Prasad, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Thakur as a child. He took one mango, started eating. And Bhaktivinoda scolded. Small child, not to be scolded. But this is the shloka I said, from childhood, from beginning. So he told, why you are enjoying, this is for Krishna, you are offender. And Bhaktisiddhanta Bimala Prasad, small boy, said, oh, I'm offender. I eaten before Krishna. I'll never eat mangoes in my life. Never took the mangoes in his life. Just see this from childhood. So this Gurukul is essential. Let us give children opportunity which we didn't have. We did not have. We had to clean all this rubbish, karmi, enjoy life. Look, let them be happy. If we could not, if we have problem with lust and mind and crazy material desires, you know, let them be free from that. Let us make facilities. This is Prabhupada's mission. This Prabhupada wanted that. And you see his base here. If from the very beginning, if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God, it will not come into lust. They will be loving God. They will not be affected with material desires. No? Nevertheless, we are contaminated here. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become lover of God by following regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life, or from the time of understanding his urgency, one can begin regulating senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfection stage of human life. Now Krishna explained how, why this gradation happened, how. He says, you see, Krishna says, lust is in senses, lust is in mind, lust is in intelligence. And everyone is bewildered. And then intelligence, mind, they are thinking how to enjoy, how to enjoy. But now look what Krishna says. Working senses are superior than dull matter. But mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is higher than the mind. And the soul is higher than an intelligence. Krishna explained now. So, we have nothing to do with this mode. We are not part of the matter. You know. The mind controls senses and the intelligence controls mind. So, we have to purify our intelligence and act in the interest of the soul. With intelligence, one has to seek out constitutional position of soul and then engage mind always in Krishna consciousness. So what's the point? The point is that by knowledge, we engage our intelligence and we say no to the mind. We control mind. Mind always thinks how to control the senses, how to engage senses in sense gratification. Mind see senses, they see something, mind says, enjoy, we'll do like this, we'll do like that. And intelligence, yes, no, no. Intelligence has to discriminate. Shall we do that or not? When intelligence is weak, mind overpowers intelligence and we just go unrestrictedly, uncontrollably. Children, you can see, they can't control mind. You know what are the children technically called in Sankhya Yoga Dictionary? Mind on two legs. Just mind, you can see. Whatever they see. Just whatever mind accepted. No intelligence to discriminate. What is... You give him a grape, put in mouth. Cockroach is walking, put in mouth. No intelligence, completely. You didn't see. You have no children, so you're wondering, you know. But I have seen, you know. Till mother came, half cockroach gone already. And then, smiling, you know, no intelligence, whatever, you know. They see sweets, I want sweets. No, we will eat after lunch. Logic, reason. To what your mind? You know, in the train, this fellow selling something, they come and they tell to show to mother, you want to buy? Mother just like this. And they go to child. Ting, 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 ting. I want this. And okay, whatever, just shut up, you know. Here, 10 rupees, go to that. You know? Just, they know that children cannot control mind because no intelligence. And they just mind on two legs, you know, like this. You know? Sometimes devotee also is mental. So becoming like... Sometimes, you know, but better to use intelligence. Sometimes happen, no? So, Krishna says, you understand by knowledge what is soul. Soul is constitutionally servant of God, is spirit, is nothing to do with matter. Anything material will not satisfy soul, will not get pleasure from sense gratification, will never be able to be happy through material enjoyment. So, act in Krishna consciousness, act for pleasure of Krishna. So that intelligence is required to be purified. Prabhupada said, in Kali Yuga, nobody has intelligence. Mandas, manda, manta. Nobody has intelligence. What is our intelligence? Shastra. Prabhupada is our, Prabhupada's books. We hear from Prabhupada what to do, what not to do. We read Prabhupada's books and we got intelligence. And then whatever is offered to us, tirunelveli halwa. No, thank you. And intelligence. No? No. Like that, you know. Immediately we discriminate. No. Otherwise, just like karmi. Karmi, why they should... Nice. It's nice. Enjoy. No discrimination power. Vivek. No? So here, Krishna explained this. The last shloka, 43. Evam buddhe param buddhva samsthabhyatmanam atmanam jahi shatru mahavaho kama rupam durasadam. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence. We are not this mind, we are not this body, we are not this intelligence, we are spirit, soul, servants of God. Almighty Arjun, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness. And thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So we should conquer lust. This is the message. So, Prabhupada summarizes in purport, third chapter, all chapter he says. The third chapter of Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as eternal servitor of Supreme Personality of Godhead. without considering impersonal avoidance the ultimate end. In material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensity of lust and desire dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overloading and for sense gratification is greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control material senses, the mind and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribe duties all of a sudden, but gradually, developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in transcendental position without being influenced by material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. In immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculation and artificial attempts to control senses by so-called practice of yogic posture can never help a man towards spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. So this is what Krishna says, that if we purify our consciousness by spiritual intelligence, we will be able to act properly without detachment for the service of Lord and will be free. Moksha. No? Yagya artha karma nyonyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kontya mukta sangha samachara. We'll get mukti if we satisfy Vishnu. But we have to use intelligence. Therefore, Prabhupada says always in our mind, hear and hear and hear, and read and read and read, and strengthen our intelligence. And then we know. Prabhuji, what do we do in this case? Prabhuji, what do we do in that case? This and this and this. How do you know? Prabhupada said. Means Shastra says. There's no difference for us. No? So we should know the Shastra. We should read the books. We have strong intelligence. Then we control our mind. No? Otherwise, I could not control. And then again and again and again. Like this. Okay. So you see these divisions here. No? So Arjuna asked, what should I do? Shall I give up this engagement activity altogether or shall I act with devotion? So Krishna said, you act with devotion for my pleasure, without attachment, as an actor of duty. Set good example for everyone. And I will, Nirmamo nirahankara. Mai sarvani karmani, mai sanyasya, matpara. Yudhyasva vigatachvaraha. Give up all your activities for my pleasure. Don't claim for proprietorship. And Yudhyasva vigatajvara, you go and fight in that consciousness and you are free from sin. You get moksha, you get mukti. Nothing to worry. So Krishna spoke powerfully, answering Arjuna's questions. So is there any question here? 122. Just some time. Yes? Yes, Prabhupada. Yes. Okay, so that we will discuss this also later on in 17th, in 18 chapters when demigod worship starts in detail. But just to give you a hint, that if demigod worshippers know that Vishnu is supreme, no, then question is, he is situated in sattvagun. And if demigod worship does not know Vishnu is supreme, he is situated in some lower modes or something. Or he is atheist, you say. It's like this, that people worship demigods because they do not know that Vishnu is supreme. Now, what is explained here? That usually, I thought to do this some other day, this all overviews of Puranas, that people are in Rajagun, Sattvagun, Tamagun. To lift a person from Tamagun to Rajagun, Rajagun to Sattvagun, different devata worship is given. For example, person in Tamagun, she worships Shiva. Person influence of Rajagun and Tamagun, she worships Durga. And then by following those rules, regulation, they'll be raised up from Tamagun to Rajagun, Rajagun to Sattvagun. Now when one comes to Sattvagun, there, Sattvic Puranas recommend worship of Vishnu. Now problem is with that problem, the thing is that he may theoretically understand, but unless he meets devotee and engage in devotional service, he will still worship Vishnu for material benefits as another demigod. But in Sattvagun, person can theoretically understand Vishnu is supreme. But once when he gets purified and meets devotee, he can very quickly advance and become devotee and then stop to worship all demigods. So what is the thing with devatas? That if one is considering Shiva is supreme or Durga is supreme, we see one side, Shastra says, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudrati Devatva Samatam Vikshita Ye Pashanti Bhavedruvan. One who thinks that Brahma and Shiva are equal to Vishnu, he's atheist. From one side, yes, this is true. But from another side, also you will see in Gita, those who worship demigods and have faith in demigods, they are situated in Sattvagun. Why? Because the worship of men and demons, worshipping these bogus avatars, imaginary folk, this is Rajagun for material benefit, and worship ghosts and spirits, this is in Tamagun. But again in Sattvagun, or worship demigods, you have again Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, another category inside, within demigod worship. So again, those who worship demigods, they worship Shiva, they are in Tamagun, worship Durga, they are in Rajagun, they worship Vishnu, they are in Sattvagun. One can be just Brahmana, born in Vaishnava family, worship Vishnu as a devata, and not really be full-fledged devotee like devotees are, who are initiated under the guidance of one of a spiritual master. But they can become. Many people say, we are Yadavas, we are Vaishnavas by birth. You know? Friday we don't eat meat. Something like that. So, many people are. In Gujarat you come say, oh, Krishna is Gujarati, he spent 100 years in Gujarat. They identify like that, but they may not be super. Later on we'll discuss full detail of that, but basic idea is like this, that Krishna says in Gita, that those who worship devatas, they are in Sattvagun. But again, within that, we know there are Puranas for people in Tamagun, Puranas for people in Rajagun, Puranas for people in Sattvagun, gradually. And every Purana glorifies that God to convince them that you should worship that, to give faith. No? We'll see in 7th chapter when Krishna says, I give faith to worship, I give blessing, I'm behind that. So like that, some idea. Any other questions? Yes. Yes. Prescribed duties according to Varshnam will purify. But what do we preach to people now? You see, what do we preach? You will see through all Gita, Prabhupada said, we preach direct process of Krishna consciousness. Because Varnashram collapse, Iyengar bakery. Iyengar's job is bakery. Tire service, they have famous Iyengar tire service. Changing tires. This is Shudra's work, that's not Brahmin's work. So, Janame Jayate Shudra, by birth everyone is Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga everyone is Shudra. So we just ask everyone to chant Hare Krishna, no meat eating, no gambling, no sex, no intoxication. And Prabhupada says everyone will become Brahmana like that. Follow their duty. What's their duty? Nobody is working their duty. Nobody is following their dharma, their karma. Nobody. So we are telling, you see, what are you doing? Here's lorry business. Okay. You do your lorry business, you know? But don't be attached to result. Yeah? And come and serve Krishna, hear about Krishna, so bus, finish. So we are not disturbing them, you know, with their duties. Okay, maintain family, you have a cow, you have to feed the cow, cow will die, you know. So you have to do that. No, we are not asking immediately, or take sannyas, you know. But those who are ready is good also. More service, more. We engage directly in devotional service, you know. We are preaching gradually, we are trying to explain to people. And everyone is individual. Some people immediately say, come, finish, join. Some people, better you don't join. It's like that. We told many people, you please stay, you slowly, peacefully, yeah? Take your time. So everything, time, place, circumstances. But we are preaching direct Krishna consciousness. We are not preaching this Varnashram thing. But Krishna speaks to Arjun. That time Varnashram is there also. And it works, principles works for everyone. You know? So you are Grihastha. You don't have to give up family. You have to purify your family. So now engage for Krishna. Bas. That's the principle of do your duty without attachment. No? So you are not now running, I will enjoy, family enjoy, go to Uti, we'll do this. No, we are working to maintain our body to serve Krishna. Bas. So this is how work becomes perfect. No need to give up work. We never told you give up lorry business. We never told you. If you are a butcher, we'll tell this is karma. This is not karma. That you give up. That we'll tell. Immediately. You're selling alcohol. Stop immediately. No? Sell lassis, buttermilk. May not get too much money, but pure life, sinless. Better. Yeah. Look, they are working to maintain family. We have no problem with that. You know? Let them work and maintain family. We preach to them. If they can join, better to join. If they cannot join, let them work. But you have to follow four principles, chant 16 rounds, read, chant, of eat only Krishna prasadam. Same thing we preach to everyone. No? So we see whom we can push, whom we cannot push. But same thing, you know. Not that we are interfering. You remember, Prabhupada said, devotee is more merciful. You know? So, like this is recorded lecture. I have to be very polite. Yes. Yeah, butcher has to leave his. Yes, find some other job, you know. Yeah, better butcher, he leaves that sinful life, you know. Better to leave and find some other job. Vedic culture is there that if money is coming from papis, it's earned by sinful way, nobody will take these big shows. Prabhupada took. And the one devotee, one Prabhupada's disciple told us, when Prabhupada knew that money is coming from very sinful person, Prabhupada took the money, didn't carry, put in donation books for the deities directly. You know? I mean, I heard from one Prabhupada disciple like that, but I didn't do research on that. But Prabhupada knew how to engage everything. Prabhupada knew from where money is coming from, some other suspicious money. He engaged in building the temple. If you switch off, I can tell you details. Yes. Yes. These are the activities prescribed in Shad Kriya Dipika Sara by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. There is a Vaishnava way of doing ritualistic activities. Vedas are full of karma kanda. So what happened is that all our Vaishnava community, when the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, brought holy name, they just cut their shikas, they threw everything. You know, Swarup Damodar or Sannyasi, he didn't even wear cloth of sannyasi. They didn't care. Why should I put cloth of sannyasi? They were laughing, they were chanting Hare Krishna, they had love of God, there were tears on their eyes, you know, they were fully relishing Krishna Bhakti, you know. But these other fellows were criticizing. They are sannyasi. Somebody wear white, somebody yellow, somebody won't wear anything. They were running around in copans. They were chanting. They were in bliss. You know, they're above rules and regulation, all of them. You know? So later on, when more and more people joined, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, you write books on rules, regulations. When new people come, let them get purified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associate, everybody is spontaneous love of God. There's no question of first initiation, second initiation. You see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, boom, love of God. It's very mysterious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can just embrace everyone. Just embrace him. And fellow will faint down and chant, fisherman, just touch him. What happened to you? I touched the ghost. Ghost was in the body, and then now I hurry, hurry, chanting. You know? This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached around. He's, you know, Supreme Lord. So what he did is that he instructed Rupa and Sanatana Goswami write books, so we get this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu based on Hari Bhakti Vilas. That Vaishnava community was criticized by smartas and was not accepted by society because they didn't follow any rule and regulation. You know? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur first instituted this diksha, you know, yagyas, and just to regulate, to purify people. Previously everyone was Babaji, Sannyasi. Nobody cares. Nobody cares for rules, regulation. We have holy name and that's all. But then to purify people who are really not ready, who are full of material desire, the first initiation is introduced, second initiation, you know, like that. And then you know, that's the idea they wrote the books based on these rules, regulations. And they, because they were criticized by smartas, they say, we have our rules and regulations based on Shastras. So they produced a book that Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know. And then from different Shastras, they say, we have our Vaishnava ways of performing ceremonies, just to be accepted by external society. So we have our Vaishnava ways how to do marriage ceremony. We don't worship devatas. We worship Vishvaksen. We worship Mahajanas. We worship Vishnu. We don't do devata puja. Like in our hair-cutting ceremony, if you call any other local pandit, they will worship devatas. But we are calling Vishnu, you become blade. This blade is your teeth with your sharp. Don't hurt the child, but bless him in long life. But it's all related to Vishnu. And that's why we were all chanting mantras and translation that everybody can hear how auspicious it was, you know. So we have our way of marriage, our way of Shraddha, our way of, you know, doing everything, which is focused on worship of Vishnu. No devata ceremonies included, you know. But basically, perfection of each yagya is chanting the name of God. And Rupa Goswami say, beginning of every successful function is starting with holy name, finish with holy name, and prasadam distribution. This perfection, where you yagya or whatever you do, that will make things perfect. So holy name is still focus of everything. But because we have a broader society, we have social customs, instead of doing demigod worship, acharyas, they wrote books from Shastras to do same activities with Vishnu worship. So this is Shatkriya Dipika Sara book called. So give you some idea. Yeah. Right. 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 If you preach to person and the person is demigod worship, and say, I will not worship Vishnu, I will worship my demigods, and slowly, slowly I will come one day to Vishnu. Tell him, yes, that's okay, but one day means bahunam jurmano. It will take life and lifetimes, you know. You can warn him and tell him Kali Yuga is progressing, you know. So, what we have to do, that's okay, theoretically. But because devotees are so merciful, they'll push him a little bit, you know. So say, okay, you worship demigods, but first buy one set of Bhagavatam and give him some prasadam and he'll get purified. And then it will click, oh, Vishnu is supreme, maybe I should just give up other worship. So we don't really encourage demigod worship. I tell you, it's better than be materialistic, gross, atheistic, karmi, you know, modern man who is completely offensive to God and Vedas and Gita, you know. Demigod worshipper, we distribute books to them, no? All the time. Ayapas, no? They take like anything because they're respectful, you know? So, but we don't say, yes, yes, you worship Ayapa. Read his book and everything will be clear. And Prabhupada will do the surgery. Krishna consciousness is shortcut. Exactly. Prabhupada said that the skyscraper, you want to go to the top level. So there is elevator, Krishna consciousness, and they are step by step. Karma Kanda, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, slowly, 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 slowly. You know? But Prabhupada said, we go by elevator, immediately Krishna, directly to Krishna. From same platform. We all have material desires in the heart, but we chant Krishna's name, engage in Krishna consciousness, we'll get purified. Makes sense. Yes. But loudly, clearly you speak.
I have my experience.
He has experience with Ayyappas.
They told that we are Ayyappas, we are worshipping Ayyappas. Why are you distributing this Bhagavad Gita? Why are you...
We are worshipping Ayyappa. Why you are giving us Krishna, Bhagavad Gita?
Krishna cult.
Krishna cult. Right.
Preaching this Krishna cult.
Right.
Then I said, we want you to become Krishna devotees.
We want you to become Krishna devotees. Yeah, good answer.
What is the difference between Advaita and Advaita?
Then preaching started, yeah. You can tell him, Ayyappas is, that you claim that Ayyappas is son of Vishnu and Shiva. So we are preaching your Lord's father's cult. You can tell him like this, you know? Krishna is Ayyappa's father, so better you see what father says, you know, the head of the family. Ayyappas are nice, you know, they just stuff them with books as much as possible, they get benefit. You know? You wanted to ask Chaitanya Chandra something? Hand was going up and down, some. No? Who was it? Yes. Yes. Yeah.
What Prabhupada was telling, Arjuna should not consider.
Sorry?
Arjuna should not consider the instruction of Krishna, what is mentioning.
Yes.
And the fool is the representative of Krishna. And but we, I was thinking we should always use our intelligence.
Yeah. You see, the thing is like this, that Prabhupada explains this. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want us to follow blindly. Everything take with reason and logic and understand, and then you follow. We are not blind followers. Now Acharya is asking, but here Prabhupada mentioned purport, that Arjuna should take instruction of execute, not to consider. Now this is done when the faith is full. When your faith is spotless and full, there's no need to discuss. It's just Krishna says, I don't have to consider, is it right? I'll just do it. You know. And Arjuna had experience in the Kurukshetra. Next 5 minutes, Arjuna had experience of that. You know? Arjuna had experience. Without Krishna's guidance, there is no way. There is trouble, difficulty, you know. And then every time, Krishna helped. You know? And Arjuna understood this. So he accepted, whatever you say, Krishna will do. Many times happened that Arjuna, Mahabharata is nice for that, you understand this. One should have complete faith in that level. Because, look, if Krishna says something, and without consideration if we execute, it's good for us. It's good for us. No? Problem is that we are conditioned souls. If we don't understand instruction, we will speculate, we will be offensive, we will be mental, and we will criticize Guru. No? Once I had difficulty to understand one instruction from Guru Maharaj. You know, with all my logic, I quote a Shastra and authorities and this and that, you know. I say, I don't understand this instruction. So I requested, Maharaj, I can't follow like this, what Arjuna, simply surrender and follow. Please you explain to me, you know. And then Maharaj took his time, and he was very kind, and he explained, and then, you know, I could get it. So, yes, we don't encourage blind following, but you must understand, if proper authority is there, you'll get same result, simply obey. And one day you will understand. If you don't understand now, we'll understand one day, you know. It's good if people just obey authority, if authority is pure. But it's good also to understand why we are obeying authority, not that we are blind followers. That's very important. Yeah. You see, having blind faith in good authority is good for us. But it's, you know, Prabhupada also said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want us to follow blindly. So both things we should consider. Arjuna, when Jayadratha killed Abhimanyu, then Arjuna in anger, he told that tomorrow till sunset, I'll cut the head of this Jayadratha, because he was main cause. If not, I'll sit in fire and burn myself. And everybody, what did you say that? Why did you say that? Krishna came, why did you say something like that? And then Arjuna thought, oh, Krishna, but Baba, they will arrange now army in such a way that they put last Jayadratha there. You won't even all day riding through army, you won't even come to that point. How are you going to fulfill that? And you'll burn yourself and leave Yudhishthira and Pandava, everything you will drop. Why are you gambling with all match? With all battlefield you're gambling now? Whimsically, foolishly. How you will do that? And Arjuna said, oh, I'm a big fool. Kesha, by your mercy will be possible. He had faith. He just turned and saw Krishna. You help me. And Krishna helped him. This way, that way, this way. Jayadratha head was off. Without Krishna's mercy, without Krishna covering with chakra sun, it was not possible. But he had the faith. And he given credit to Krishna. On the end of the battlefield, you know, Arjuna looked left and said, how is this all possible? Krishna, this is only by your mercy. And Yudhishthira say, Krishna, because you are here. Everybody give credit to Krishna. This is devotee. So they had faith, they follow. Yudhishthira also followed. He was thinking for a moment, then he also surrendered. No? Ashwatthama is that, so. It's not bad instruction, but because we are fellows not convinced, you have to preach to us. Sometimes we get irritated. Sometimes you are teaching somebody something, and then you tell him, do like this. But Prabhu, if it's like this, okay, sometimes you have patience and explain, but sometimes, just do, don't speak, just do it, it's okay, just do it, it will be okay, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's a little difficult, it's good to explain, but sometimes it's needed, just do it, just follow, emergency, you know, just do what I say. In army, in the battlefield, general, what he say, that's it. No. Well, why don't you quote some Vedanta Sutra that I attack from this side. And you're dead, you're dead, you consider you're finished, you're dead. There's no consideration. You serve, you dedicate. No? Prabhupada said, go to China. Took some 5-10 minutes for him to digest it. It's a tough one, you know? Just mind-blowing instruction, you know? Surrender. Bliss, you know? Something like that. Prabhuji, you want to say something? Who wants to say? Yes. Yeah. Can you perform duty without attachment? Yes. Maybe you're attached to Brahman or some impersonal because you don't know. But you know, there's some higher, some benefit I will get. It's possible, but it's difficult. Yeah, it's possible. Somebody asked me, can I worship devatas without material motivation? No? Yeah. So, hardly it is true. They say, I worship Devata, Durga, Ganapati and Shiva particularly, Shiva's worshippers. They have some better understanding than other Devatas. They have some knowledge. So one person told me, I worship Shiva, I don't expect anything, but he takes care of everything. Means he really expects, you know. It's not that he's asking for, but he's expecting that Shiva will take care of everything. So you can see, Devata worship without material motivation is a lip service only. It's in the words only. It does not exist. Kama ista ista hrita jnana prapadyantena devata. Those whose heart is bewildered by material desires, they worship devatas. But again, it's wrong. Because Jiva is eternal servant of Vishnu, is not servant of devata. So it's wrong. It's wrong that your love, which should be given to Krishna, you give to somebody else. So can you perform prescribed duty without knowing Krishna's goal? At least you should know transcendental goal. Okay, yeah, I'm pushed somehow or other. No, yeah, I avoided yesterday answering him definition of karma yoga. No. Again, I have to tell the definition. Karma yoga means that you know the transcendental goal, either Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, or some idea, some moksha is there. And then you perform your duty without attachment. Karma yoga means you know the goal, but you are attached to the work or to the result of work. This is definition of karma. And you see, now it became more complicated. That's why I didn't want to tell you. When we come, as we go, it will come, it will clear. But yes, it's possible. It's possible without knowing that Vishnu is supreme to be karma yogi. But you should know that there is moksha there. There is some transcendence there. Some spiritual goal should be there. Yoga means you are linked. You are linked to transcendental goal. Jnana also. Jnanis are mostly impersonalists. They only realize Brahman. Only bhakti. So karma yoga is linked with transcendental platform. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Jnana yoga is linked with transcendental platform. And bhakti yoga is linked. Karma kanda is not linked. It's not linked. It's completely material activity. But it's first step from atheism to theism. At least some authority is there. Somebody is there. But it's only for me, for me, for me. But as one to perform these works, get purified. This ritual, this name of God, that name of God, Vishnu worship, Shiva worship. Then people get purified and then slowly become karma yogi, then slowly jnana, then dhyana, then bhakti yogi. Here we are offering direct process. That's why we just sweep over all of this thing. That's why it's difficult for us to relate to this. Do your duty. What is my duty? What is your duty? Because varnashram collapsed. We don't have varnashram. Who is Brahma? Who is Kshatriya? Who is Vaishya? But you have to understand, Krishna speaks of these things. Yes?
Regarding this demigod worship without
material. Yeah.
Actually, what I understand, nobody has this concept at all in the demigod, among demigod worshippers.
That you should not only, expect.
Yeah. Only when devotees preach to the people that, you know, devotion means should.
Right.
Then they get the idea of one cannot be. You know, to
right. Although they are not doing it, really. Yeah.
Hearing this from the audience, they just ask for the sake. Nobody is really thinking.
That's why I told you, it's just lip service. But there is a one branch of Brahmanas which worship personal form of Shiva. They don't think Shiva is impersonal. They want to go to Shiva's abode. Very small sect. I spoke with one Brahman a long time. I spoke to him, and he said, our goal is Ahai tukya pratihata to Shiva. And we don't expect him. We just want to go to his abode and serve him eternally there. We don't want material, we don't want to anything else, you know. So this is very interesting, you know. This is very interesting. But again, it's wrong. Dasa bhuto harareva nanya seva kadachana. The jiva is servant of Vishnu, not anyone else's servant. Again, you are misdirecting. And then there are very rare souls who worship Sadashiva, who is Vishnu in form of Shiva. And they know that this is servant of God, is Vaishnava, and they worship him, they want to assist him. And they go there. And Nandi is there, and everyone is there. And these are very rare souls who are attracted to Vishnu's form of Sadashiva. That's also described. By worshipping Shiva as a Vaishnava, once go to Sadashiva Loka. So these are very, they are attracted to Shiva like anything, but they know Vishnu is supreme. But they are just attracted to Shiva's form, which is servant of Lord. They are not offensive to Vishnu. They worship Vishnu also. Without worship of Vishnu, without bhakti, you can't come out of material. But particularly, they worship him as a Vaishnava. So these are very rare. So these are really something, you know. One group I've seen, this group, personal. Personalists of Shiva. Yeah, because they don't speak about impersonal goal.
But also, they look like they're kind of material, they expect something, and then
pure devotion, but ultimately Shiva is not there, it's impersonal. You know. But this group, they're very particular. His form, he has his abode, we want to go there, we want to stay there. I forgot, I should write the name. There is all Gotra, completely into it. And their altars are very nice because the murtis are there. Nataraj is there and Shivalinga is there, but this is not main. The form is main, you know. They are quite devotional, but they are completely into it, like your mind is completely into, you know. And, who said something? Okay, so you will see, this is quoted in Gita. Dasa bhuta harereva nanya seva kadachana. Dasa bhuta. Jiva is always dasa, servant. Harereva, only of Hari. Nanya seva kadachana. Never, ever of anybody else, servant. This is essential. Jiva Goswami quotes. This is a thing from Padma Purana, shloka from Padma Purana. There's book Hui Supreme, you can read. It's quoted there. Prabhupada's quotes in Gita, it's from Gita, you will see. This. Okay. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.